irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and my co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek, is still taking some time away from the show, which is a reminder to me of all of the good works that he does as director of the Hazleton Betty Ford Clinic. And for what he, and not only him, but he and his team do such a great job for our entire community. Now, for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments while bringing in answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And you can all do me a huge favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone that you know that can benefit from a particular show. Now, if you go onto our site, answersforthefamily.com, you can look at a variety of different shows, and the odds are that there'll be something on there that will either click with you or it'll click and you'll go, I know somebody that can really, really gain a lot of benefit from a particular show. So, Answers for the Family, as a radio show, will continue to address a variety of issues, such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more, and will introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, security, and fun for you and your family. Now, our topic today is From Bullied to Kindness Activists. Our guest today, Gabriella Van Rij, has chosen, or was chosen, and adopted from a Pakistani orphanage at the age of 3 by a Dutch family. She was raised in Holland, and she learned about bullies and racism, unfortunately, the hard way. But she refused to remain a victim. Instead, she used understanding and empathy to defeat fear and mistrust. Now, techniques that are even more relevant, you know, in our country today, being as we are becoming more increasingly global and multicultural. Now, after Gabriella wrote her first book, With All My Might, which chronicles her many personal experiences with bullying, she was invited to appear on TV shows across the U.S. as an anti-bullying expert. Now, later in 2012, Gabriella heard the devastating news of a 7-year-old boy who had committed suicide due to bullying. Now, her compassion and desire to help those suffering from isolation, bullying, and feeling as if they just do not belong intensified. In that moment, she decided she would become an activist for kindness. Now, on national TV and at school assemblies across the U.S., Gabriella says, let's pick up our standards, let's pick up our values. And her slogan is, we as a society have dropped the ball on human kindness. Will you help me pick it up? She also has the hashtag Dare to Be Kind. Now, for the last 3 years, she has been seen by millions on Dr. Phil, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. So, Gabriella, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you. You know, for those that have listened to the show, they know that, you know, I really try to focus a lot on what we can do to make things better for all of us, for our family, be it, you know, from our work environment to our school environment to our home environment. And kindness is just one of those things that works across the board. So I'm just so happy to have you on. Now, for those that haven't read your first book, can you share a little more about your journey that got you to this point?
Okay, so as you already told the listeners that I was born in a Pakistani orphanage, which was Catholic, by the way. That's where I got my name from, Gabriella. And what is interesting is that, you know, there were 50 children in that orphanage, and someone, a stranger in the orphanage volunteering, took it upon herself to basically be kind to me I always feel like she threw the first ball of human kindness my way.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady's name is Helen, and she was from the UK. And she decided to take a shine to me. And she said, I'm going to try to help you find a family. And so that was like really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I was three, I got adopted to the Netherlands, where I got my crazy name from, Van Ray. The Dutch and the Germans have the Van, huh?
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah. And then, you know, you think in one way that it's going to be all roses, right? Here you go, an orphan. It's just a wish come true. But, you know, it actually, I feel that adoption also comes with a price.
Mm-hmm.
And the price is that they take away your mother tongue and your entire culture. And there is no reversing that. Once it's gone, it's gone. It's kind of a plant that you repot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once it takes roots, it's kind of difficult to go back to the old way. And the reason I'm saying that is for your listeners to get a feel that it's not only hard to try to belong into a school, but then to try to belong into a sport and your own family, because you can imagine that the Dutch, I mean, I think we all know that the Dutch are blonde, blue-eyed, and very tall, and especially in 1966, and I'm sure brown-eyed and brown hair and brown skin. And so I stood out no matter what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I wanted to fit in, so I took the advice from my father, who said, don't let anyone bully you. Tell them you're Dutch. And I'm pretty happy-go-lucky kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I still am. And so I really went back to school and I said to the bully, I'm Dutch. Don't call me a foreigner. Can't you see it? And all those kids, of course, said, no. And that's a little bit where I realized that no matter how good the intention of a parent and how loving, you are out there on your own. And to tell you the truth, I feel that's a little bit my kinship. Not a little bit. That's my 100% kinship with these children today in 2017. Is talking to them is so easy because, unfortunately, and I say that with sadness, that hasn't changed over the years. It hasn't changed the belonging, the wanting to fit in. We all need that so desperately when we're young,
mm-hmm.
that we'll go to great lengths to accomplish this. And so I really, really feel that these kids out there have something that I never had. And what that is technology. There are more and more what I call new composite family. And what I mean by the word composite is that these families are like, you live with your stepmother and a father, or you live with a stepfather and your mother, and you go every two weekends, you know, to a dad, or you live 3 days here, 3 days there. That is much tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that these families, they don't realize how tough that is on kids with the belonging angle, you know, because then school becomes really, really important. Because if you already don't fit into your family, then how are you going to fit into school? How are you going to explain to them that it's difficult to explain, you know, that you have step siblings around, and it is harder and harder for these kids today. And my compassion goes out to them that when I was bullied in 1966, all the way prevalent through the 80s, that I didn't have to deal with the technology.
You know,
right?
Yeah.
And so these kids, it's 24/7. And I think we as adults kind of forget that, because we think, you know, they're home in the weekend, they're home at night. But as parents and your listeners out there, remember that they spend more time out of the home than they are in the home, if you really think about it.
Exactly. And I know what you're talking about, because what you're saying is even if they're in the home, mentally they're going to be out of the home because they're online and they're checking all of their social media. You know, they're checking, you know, Facebook, and they're seeing, you know, what's going on Instagram and all of these things. And so,
absolutely.
And now it's the type of thing, whereas what you were talking about in the 60s was, you know, bullying was it's a face-to-face situation. You know, I mean, you're looking at somebody and you're talking to them, but we now have this situation to where people can hide behind a computer screen, they can hide behind a different identity, and they can do a lot of these really, really mean and horrible things and not really have to expect any sort of repercussion for it. How do we deal with that type of situation?
Well, I think that one of the things that I desperately try to bring back is the online etiquette. But to tell you the truth, it's not just the online etiquette. It's the face-to-face etiquette, too. Because what the parents forget is it starts face-to-face. Like, I'm going to give you a rough example here. A child, let's say, as young as 8, will not fit in to the group, and one person will exclude them. And that part then is exemplified, and it's like having it just gets proliferated on the internet double. Mm-hmm. So then the person that you go, let's say that you play tennis, or you play golf, or you play football or soccer, huh? If it's Europe. Mm-hmm. When you play those sports, they then see on your timeline that you're getting bullied too, and they will distinguish that, meaning a child that doesn't bully you then suddenly says, oh, he's not a popular kid, or she is not a popular kid, I better remove myself a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so you get to be standing alone every single place you go, because we see it. These kids see that you're being bullied online. And because they're scared for repercussions themselves between the children. And the thing is that most children, and this is really the key here, most children do not tell the parents. Because mm-hmm. if you tell another one, not only are you a tattletale, but they know that the repercussions of the bullying are tripled. And that is where this dilemma lies. You know, to what extent does this child feel that it has the power to go to an adult and say, hey, I'm being really bullied, I can't handle it? And when they do that, this is what the children tell me. The students tell me that when they do it, they don't only get the repercussions for more bullying, but the teachers often don't believe them. And this is another problem, that teachers and parents are not as savvy on technology as these kids are. And parents are often not aware of all the accounts children have. Because the truth is, let's be honest, you can get a Facebook account. The youngest person I've ever met that has a Facebook account is 7. Mm-hmm. And the parents tell these children, hey, toughen up. In my day, and to tell you the truth, the moment you hear "in my day," the children tune out.
Exactly.
Because you know the truth is, yeah, we tune out. Come on. We tuned out too when our parents said "in my day."
Yeah.
Because it's not their day. Yeah. And I always say to the parents, when you do that, that child is not going to open up to you. It takes such courage for a child to say, Dad, Mom, I have a problem. And when the parents cut them off with, in my day, be tougher, be this, be that, then I feel that they cut off the emotion of the child, and the child regresses in.
Well, I think you bring up a great point, because they go into more isolation at that point, because now they're not being heard, not only by their friends or the people they thought they were their friends that have now isolated them, because those friends now don't want to get the same bullying that they got. But now when the parents essentially to them do the same thing. It's interesting. And when you were saying that, the thought that came to mind for me was the term that we were told in our generation, which was sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. All right, and I think I am
so sorry. I'm here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we got cut off there for a moment. But so the point that I was making was that, you know, in our day, the thought process was sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Well, that's not true today. So, you know,
words hurt for a lifetime.
Exactly.
I remember all the words that they called me, you know.
Yep.
And if I can remember them, I definitely know these children remember them.
Oh, and no, I completely agree. But what I'm saying is that what the child is thinking, if the parent doesn't understand the internet, and so the parent, you know, as you said, says toughen up or says something like that, you know, of, you know, don't worry, sticks and stones type of thing. Now then the child just feels that that's one more level of isolation. That's one more person that doesn't get it.
Yeah. And there's something else that's interesting. When a father tells the son to beat up the bully, you know how often that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Son, beat him up. And then, or worse, right? I'm trying to be polite.
Yes. Yeah.
I hear some other words sometimes from the children. And when they do that, they usually get caught at school, just so you know. And then I have tears, of course. The child says to me in tears, and I beat him up. And I got caught and I got time out or I got expelled because he had a broken nose. So that's not the answer. And this is where I come in with my talks.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I get so passionate because I feel that if we teach the students that the bully and the victim are mirror images of each other, then there is real clarity because they are mirror images. The bully just decides to use it, to use his strength differently by attacking. And the victim decides to be in the victim role. And once they understand that, I can explain kindness. Because a victim then actually creates, and I know this is really hard for the listeners to believe, but I make sure that I get the victim to see the empathy, because when I do a one-on-one session with a bully and a victim, mm-hmm. whether these are adults or children, I always start with putting my hand on the knee of the person, of the bully, which mm-hmm. I call instigator, because I just don't like the word bully, because we've all been an instigator of something, positive or negative. And then I say, who hurt you? And when I do that, the floodgates open, and the victim who is watching, it's a huge revelation for them, because usually things come out like, I'm actually jealous of the victim. He or she looks like they got their life together, or he or she is too popular, or, you know, or I feel, you know, inadequate, and I feel like I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pester him because I want to bring him down. And when that happens, there is true empathy, compassion, and kindness.
Yeah, I'm so taken by what it is that you're saying, because I think it is so true. You know, and it goes to that point of, you know, in some cases, any level of attention is better than no attention at all. So in many cases, these bullies are just looking for attention, even if it means doing it this way. And just like you said,
yep.
they may very well want to make this person their friend, but they just don't know how to do it.
No, we are sorely lacking in communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
I teach the students that communication is the key to kindness and good relationships. And once we build these, much more than we build grades, then they kind of go, now I get it. Because I say to them, you know, kindness, when you answer rudeness with kindness, like someone shoves in the line, that's an etiquette thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we teach the etiquette of not doing that. But we also teach that when it happens, does it really matter? Because I live in LA,
And I got to tell you, the road rage between adults, oh my God, that's a total different segment.
Yeah, as do I. Actually, I live in Orange County, and I drive up here to do the radio show. So you can imagine I've got an hour and a half on the road, you know, to get up here, and everybody else is trying to get to their job or something. And you're right. It is just unbelievable how strange it is that people are going to get that upset, you know, over the fact that, you know, they want to get there 30 seconds earlier, you know, to wherever it is that they're going to literally run you off the road.
Absolutely. I would like to add something about these relationships. You know, life is kind of like a basketball game. It is only, we're always playing at the offense or the defense. We're never seem to be in a good place. And by saying that to the kids, they really, really get this. Mm-hmm. And I always say my big slogan about the ball is one moment, one person, one kindness is all it takes to help this child that is in a negative space, and I say on purpose space, to go to a positive place, to be the difference in someone's life. And when they get that, you know, and to adults, I would say to the parents, you know, in our household, let's be honest, in everyone's family, and I know you're a family-oriented radio show, we also play victim roles, and mm-hmm. we also play bully roles, you know, the real dominant ones in the family, mm-hmm. you know, dominant children get all the attention, and we also have to kind of not react to that all the time. So how do you teach that to not react?
Well, share with us.
Well, the way you teach that is about kindness. I say to the children that if I'm unkind, it is because I really don't have a good day. So I give the example. I'm a real girly girl. So if my hair is like really bad, then, and someone says to you, all women do that, and you have your hair in a ponytail tucked away, and people say, oh, you look really nice. And you go, no, I don't. You know, like, whoa, there you go. You know, even though the person gave you a compliment, you're so negative. This action reaction is like a ping pong ball. And in the workplace, this is awful, these ping pong balls. And they just keep going. Whereas when I get to work and I have a team that I work with, and you do too when you come to the radio station, you can say, hey, guys, I didn't sleep very well. And the beautiful thing is when you do that, when you preemptively communicate how you feel, your coworkers and the people at school will have your back. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty. But we forget to say it.
Yeah.
And they say, what's going on with you, kiddo, today?
Yeah. And I think too many of us, you know, don't want to show that. We see it as a weakness or something. And in fact, there's a term that I've used on multiple times in dealing with people, but it's, you know, it's when I've said, you know, please don't confuse, you know, my kindness with weakness. But I think sometimes we also don't communicate because we feel people are going to see that as a weakness and then take advantage of it rather than start trying to help us.
So I always say that we need to redefine in our society the measure of success. And I say the measure of success is actually kindness mm-hmm. and the amazing relationships that you can create around you. That is the measure of success. And so kindness is not at all a weakness. Now, I'm not teaching anyone to have people step over you. I'm just teaching them to do it in a kind way. Like if I have a problem with someone and that's over and over the same problem, that you feel the negativity, talk to that person, take them to the side, don't do it in public, and say, I feel kind of put down. And the moment you tell them, they go, oh my gosh, I didn't know. I didn't know. And because one other part that we react so much, and this is an important key, is the tone. We take kind of that commanding tone that our parents have to children, mm-hmm. and then we mimic it at school, right? And that is a tone that we're not noticing. And the tone also plays a huge role in how you communicate.
Absolutely. And and in fact, that's one of the things, we teach it to our own staff, but we talk about not only the tone, but we also talk about the cadence, you know, the speed in which it's spoken. So how can we use that to our advantage in these situations?
Yeah, I think speed, body language, accent, because that also makes a problem in communication. I teach to reiterate something back to the person. If you reiterate it back without having him or her repeat it, we actually know if we understood it correctly. But the truth is, the reason we don't do that is because everyone thinks they're in a rush, and especially in these big cities. And one of the beautiful things that I think is in America is when we go to the Midwest, for example, I'm just taking the Midwest, they take the time.
Yeah.
They still take the time to actually say, hey, Gabriella, how are you? And to actually stand in front of me.
And
they
don't walk away. I was going to say, and wait for an answer.
Yes. You know that, by the way, I just wanted you to know that in LA, I tested that for a whole week. I said to everyone, no, I'm doing really bad. And everyone walked off. And then I tested it in the Midwest and they all had stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it put a smile on my face. You know, it is so lovely when another person actually shows up. And this is what I say to the children. Why are you always elsewhere? In my adult corporation thing too. Why are you elsewhere? Why don't we live right now? Why are we always so worried about what's coming tomorrow? What's coming in an hour? Now, with the children, I understand the passion about playing sports, that your head is already in playing sports and that you can't pay attention in school anymore. That's different. But when you have a person across from you, you really, really, I live by example, meaning my team really says that I'm kind. Even when I'm rushed, I sit down and I say, okay, sorry guys, I was being rushed, I wasn't paying attention. And I catch myself. And I think this is just a little gymnastic that we need to do in our heads. We can do it all different. And I'm going to give you an example that you might like.
Okay.
If someone shouts, whether it's school, whether it's in the workplace, when someone just shouts for no apparent reason, let them shout, let them finish, and then say, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I'm sure this wasn't meant for me. Take a deep breath and tell me what you need from me. Can I help? I swear to you, I do this in shops. I do this in banks. I do this everywhere. It works so beautifully. Instead of reactive, because if I react, and the reason I know this so well is because I spent my first part of my life reacting to everyone, and it's exhausting.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. You know what? We're going to take a break right now. We have some listener questions that are coming in. That I think everybody's going to want to hear the answers to. So for everybody out there, we're going to take a quick commercial break. It's going to take about a minute and a half. So in the meantime, turn to somebody near you and just say something kind about them, and we'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585 or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Now, if you turn to somebody and you said something kind, what did they say back to you? And if you want, send us a quick message to answersforthefamily.com. Tell us how that went. So we are here. We are talking with Gabriella Von Rijge, and we are talking about kindness, and we're talking about it from every aspect. So we do have some listener questions that have come in, and again, I want to thank everybody that takes the time to send us in these questions. I know we're in the middle of the day, so often we get messages, one of which actually is from a teacher. So a lot of the teachers will send us in messages ahead of time so that we can get them answered, and then they tell us that they listen later on through iTunes or another vehicle to do that. So this first one reads, I was a victim of bullying during my elementary and junior high days. My bullies were the popular kids who heartlessly tormented me. Although I went on to a successful career, it left emotional scars and a deep resentment for having been robbed of those carefree childhood years, that I watched others enjoy. I know it is all in the past, but my question is, how do I and others like me actually get free of the devastating emotions that still linger sometimes? And this is from Julianne in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Well, my answer would that for her would be, first of all, I'm sorry that you were bullied. But I would also, I mean, I know what it feels like. So I understand the scars. But there are two options that you have. If you still live around where you grew up, then I would highly suggest to contact the bully because it's quite liberating. I did it with mine. And if you talk to the bully, then you will actually realize that they didn't know. They didn't even know. So that's one. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, then just like in the titles of the book, find your own might. Because something inside of you really, really has a fear. And I think, and I'm just saying that out of my own experience, the fear of thinking it is true. So if you think that there was anything the bully said, if you can go back in your mind and think of what that person said to you, then realize or let go of what they said was not true. And if there's any remnant left that you think is true, then you need to find your might and own your own uniqueness. I only owned my uniqueness by the time I was 40. So it does take a while. That's my advice.
All right. Well, thank you. Now, another one that came in. This one says, just a comment. It says, I am a high school English teacher, and one of my goals has been to integrate reading materials that address the issues presented in your book. I received my copy last week and read it over the weekend. I could not pull it down, and I am so excited to see an autobiography that is suitable reading for my students. It is so needed. Thank you for this. And that is from Beth in Pasadena, California.
Wow. Thank you, Beth. I am very glad that you like it. I really tried. You know, I do not even know how many schools I've done. And I am, A, really glad that you read it. And B, there is so many little nuggets that these students tell you that I wanted the world to know. And just so that you know, I wrote that children's book because one little boy said, can I buy my might? And that made me realize that I had to be even better and that I had to explain it even better, because might is not a word we utilize a lot, but might is that internal power, that internal strength that we all have. And I tell children that when we have that internal strength, it actually shows up when life throws you a lot of adversity. And that's when you go into that power and that you come out strong. So thank you so much, Beth. And I just want to say, if you ever want me to come to your school, I'm not far away. I would love to come. Not only to shake your hand, but to come and meet your children.
Okay. And Gabrielle, if you can share what the website is or the way in which they could get in contact with you.
Absolutely. HTTP Gabriella LLA.global. I got rid of my last name because my parents would not be happy. But I got rid of it because nobody knows how to spell it or say it. Or so global is easier.
I understand.
I knew you would. It makes me giggle.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I know is a big issue when it comes to kindness is fear. So how does fear influence our reactions to each other and hold us back from being kind to each other?
Everything. I am so sorry to say that, but everything. Fear, we are so fear-based that it's silly. It's almost incredible. We're fearful, and I'm not talking about an insect or something. I'm talking about we are scared of the person across from us. Fear truly keeps you paralyzed. And when we're paralyzed, we get nasty. That's our only mechanism to cope with it. So I always say, you know, sorry, I lost my train of thought. I have a quote that I use. Nobody strikes another human being coming from a positive place. Maybe that answers the whole fear scenario.
Yeah, I think it does, because I think, yes, so much of what comes out that is negative is based on our own fears. So, yeah, I think that fits perfectly.
But we believe that it's the other person. And I always say it's not the other person. It's we're a mirror. The other person is just projecting. See, think of something really easy to do. Everyone that's listening to this, go to the supermarket at a real horrible rush hour. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go there and then just watch how grumpy the cashier is and how grumpy everyone in line is. You let someone go in front of you that only has two items, and you say to the cashier, you try to read her tag, which I'm very bad at because I need glasses. But if you can read it, then say, Mary or John or Paul, rough day, huh? You see them change. Give them the time of day. Give the person across from you the time of day. The moment you do it, it feels like that store was not busy, because that other person takes you as a mirror and lights up because you lit up. And I promise you it works.
Well, I do it, so I completely agree. And it's interesting because I think for some of us, I don't know that we actually thought of it as being kind, or I just thought that it was being normal.
I mean, love it. I would agree with you because, again, I'm a happy-go-lucky person. I love what you just said. I think it's normal, too. But unfortunately, I have to say that apparently it wasn't. So that's where, you know, the word kind wasn't in our vocabulary 20 years ago. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We were taught to be nice and polite.
Yep.
Right? And now, for many people, we're stuck. We're stuck in a habit. Do you know that a habit is formed in a few days?
Yep.
You know, like a taste bud. You know, if you have wheat bread every day, and the first 2 days you do yuck, and the third day you're used to it. Mm-hmm. But this is same with your own self. And what I say, maybe you like this one, is you put your clothes on every day. Nobody right. walks out of the house without shoes on their something on their feet. So why don't we put on kindness? I don't believe that anyone goes out of the house and says, I'm going to be mean to someone. We let life take over. And this is why we need to go, no. I know it's tough. I see that person just cut me off. That child just went in front of me and cut me off again. No, just say, who cares? Let him do it.
Yeah, or like you said earlier, we can look at it and go, you know, and from an empathy standpoint of just looking at it and saying, wow, they must be really having a bad day. And mm-hmm. just leave it at that, you know, as the person cuts you off, because to let it then affect our day, that's not doing us any good.
No, because we are the one of the beautiful things, though, of humanity is that we take on the negative or the positive of the other person. At the one hand, this is an ability that we humans have, but that ability can also be positive, because otherwise we wouldn't have empathy. We wouldn't have compassion, right, mm-hmm. for the other person, because we do. We cry in movies. We sympathize with other people and their sadness. So we have that capability. The only unfortunate part is that when they're negative, we don't need to take it on. We just say, that's okay. And that's, I think, where we're different. And that we just need to readjust and keep talking to ourselves. That little head in our voice just needs to say, let it go. Not important. It's just not important. And when you do that, kindness really, really prevails. I believe that kindness only grows more kindness.
Well, I am right with you on that. And we have we have another question coming in.
Yes.
And this one says, in this time of organized divisiveness and bullying by our politicians and the media, how can we instill kindness into our children when they're bombarded with negative spin at every turn, even in their schools? And this is from Mark in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, Mark, thank you for that question. I have a hard time answering this one. I can tell you that the new administration gives me a lot of food for my campaign on kindness, as you can imagine. So at the one hand, it saddens me. But on the other hand, I think it gives us a beautiful way of not being.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is already, if you live by example, it's not because the politician. I think that in Charlottesville, you should ask senators and congressmen and congresswomen to live by example and tell them that you want something better for your state than what you're seeing. I know it's really rough that when someone calls someone bad words on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and this is the highest office in America, I find that very, very, very disturbing. But it's not, again, it's not because someone else does it that our society has to go lower. It's a sentence, I guess I'll never forget, that Michelle Obama said. I guess I do it naturally without knowing that I did it, just like you said about kindness. When they go lower, you go higher.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give in to this negative thing that you see around you. Because you know what? For you, Mark, in Charlottesville, I tell you, if you spread the kindness in a 2-mile radius around you, your environment changes. That's how powerful a human being all of us are.
Yeah, and I completely agree. You know, if you go out and you are kind to 4 people that day, just try and get them to pass it forward. You know, if we all do that, if, you know, as you said, if we go to the market or we go to the gas station or whatever, you know, if we're approaching those situations with kindness, we're making their day better. And once we've made their day better, hopefully the next customer that comes in is going to feel that from them, and so on. So I could not agree with you more that.
But you know that they do. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm so passionate here.
Oh no, I love it.
They do.
Yeah.
I give you the example. If you meet someone and you let them go first, I travel a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm airport in, airport out. So if you let that person go first in line because they're going to miss their airplane, right, through security. I cannot even begin to tell you how many people I let go in front of me. And so, and then I usually give them a little ball in the hand that says, we as a society have dropped the ball in human kindness, help me pick it up. I get phone calls afterwards that say, I came home and I told my wife or I told my spouse or my husband, I told them about the girl with the ball. See, people remember kindness.
Yes.
They really do. Think of the stories you tell your family at the end of the day. It's usually the kindness stories.
Yep.
Because honestly, life is only moments. And this month, more important than ever, this month is the month of giving, right? I think last week was Giving Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
This month is the month of giving, and we need to make this kindness a habit. You need to put it on like your clothes, make it a habit in your daily life. If you started right now, you'll start to continue it in January, even when the holidays are over. That sense of giving needs to stay there.
Well, and for everybody out there listening, what I'd like to see is that for all of you to be able to go out and say, guess what? I just listened to Gabriella, and I listened to the person that brought us to a point in which kindness is going to be the norm again. And have them spread that word out there. Have them go out and, you know, just tell people. It doesn't cost you anything, but it brings you back an immense amount of wealth, just, you know, to you and to everyone around you. So, Gabrielle, I'm just so thankful that you're out there doing this. And I would like to end. I didn't even realize that you were here in L.A. because I was looking at your phone number, so I thought that you were a little further away. So, I'm also here in L.A. I would love to get together or have you come in studio. You can come in and be the guest co-host, and we'll help spread the word every chance we get.
I would love that. Love that. I would love to tell you and the listeners something that is new. When we booked this appointment, I didn't know this yet. In September this year, mm-hmm. in Seoul, Korea, I got elected actually, to become the Secretary General of the World Kindness Movement. So I carry a second hat, and we have 26 nations that are part of this. So I will be launching a lot of campaigns worldwide.
Well, you are welcome here anytime. Any campaign that you want launched, if there's anything that we can do to help get the word out, please just let us know. I would love to help you do that.
That would be awesome. Really, that would be so great, because I think that people actually forget how many beautiful things people are doing out there. And my last words, the most important, I think, for me, for your listeners, is it's easy. It's not difficult. Go out there and realize that you can change someone's life forever. Maybe not like Helen did it for me in the orphanage, but just as impactful. My manager who works with me, for her it was a coach, right? Mm-hmm. A sports coach. That there is, if you think back to your childhood, we all know that one person that gave us that encouraging word, that tap on the shoulder, that made us better, that made us, you know, spring back and have that little bounce in your step. And that's what you can do for someone else without even knowing it.
I love it. Well, again, Gabriella, thank you so much. For everybody out there, if you want to learn more about what Gabriella is doing, again, you can go to http://gabriella.global. Now, yeah. If you're driving, obviously you can't write this down. Go to answersforthefamily.com. We will have all of her information there so that you can get in touch with her. Again, Gabriella, thank you so much. You know, I usually end the shows where I ask everybody to be good human beings. In this case, I'm going to say be kind human beings.
Absolutely. Love it. Be kind human beings. Love that. Thank you.
And thank you. And for everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we are joined by Dr. John DeWitt to discuss his book, Concussions, An Athlete's Perspective, Natural Ways to Protect Yourself and Your Children. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com or subscribe to our show through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or Vimeo. And if you are, the next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page and check out some of our latest posts. And if you like them, please like us and spread the word. Looking forward to you listening to us again next week. Thank you.